You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Darren Owen, James Millman and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Fakenham and Lingfield domestically and action over in Ireland as well from Thurles. So three meetings to look forward to, and do tune in for all that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark. I'm trying to dig out some pre-Christmas spending money for
yes.
Sunday.
Yeah, obviously buy the Christmas presents and sets us up for King George Day as well.
Absolutely, you have a little bit left over to have a little punt on Boxing Day.
Yeah, some great racing coming up on Boxing Day. I've been talking to many pundits this week about the William Hill King George, so I suppose we get your thoughts on it as well, Mick. It would be rude not to, wouldn't it? So William Hill King George, the sixth chase, Don Cossack 5-2 favourite, 3-1 for Tor, Q Card 7-2, 7-1 for Silviniaco Conti, 8s for Smad Place with a run. Jack Adam is 14-1 and then 16s or bigger for the others.
Yeah, Irish dominated, didn't it, really? But I suppose Q Card, the strongest in form contender of the home team. And I'm a big Don Cossack fan. How he never won at Cheltenham last year at the festival, I still haven't got over that. But put things somewhat right at Aintree next time when he got a proper ride instead of half a ride at the festival. But I think he's going to take some beating, Don Cossack. Second season novice, it's a big ask for him, isn't it? Against two hard-bitten campaigners like Don Cossack and Q Card. He's not going to have to... There's going to be no margin for error. And last time we saw him over here on a right-handed track, he did have an alarming tendency. Well, not alarming, but definite tendency, just slightly edge left at his fences.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to prefer to give... half a length away at each fence against those guys, is he?
No, that's the concern, really, isn't it?
And he's a very short price, isn't he? You know, with a slight question. I know Willie's not worried, and he's won around Punchestown, he's won around Ascot. So it's not going right-handed that's a problem for him. I don't know. It's just a slight concern that his rivals may be able to exploit, that's all, if he does it again.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously exciting, and I suppose the idea is run him in the King George, see if he stays the 3 miles, which he's not proven to do either.
Well,
yet.
Exactly, and yeah. Then... That's another sort of slight question mark at the price, isn't it?
Mm.
I think, well, I would have been with Don Cossack anyway, but I'm going to stay with him. But right. I'm sure Q Card will make his presence felt. Looks a different horse this year, with hopefully all his health problems behind him.
Yeah.
Fresh environment for him as well, isn't he?
Yeah,
keeping him away from the cows. I mean, it might sound a bit silly, but... I've seen horses affected by brucellosis, which is a bovine disease, and it's an absolute knocks their system sideways.
Yeah.
You know, it takes them ages to recover, and some of them never recover at all.
Right.
So the further you can keep them away from cattle, the better. So yeah, might all be coming right for Q Card this year.
Yeah, it was very impressive in the Betfair Chase, wasn't he? So if he reproduces that, he's going to go close, isn't he? What do you make of Silviniaco Conti, by the way? Because he was obviously behind Q Card in the Betfair Chase, won the last two renewals of the King George.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? I just didn't think he looked full of sparkle at the last day. But, you know, he's a very good horse, isn't he? You'd love to own him. But I'd just like to see a bit more from him.
Yeah. I was actually a little bit disappointed with him because of how bullish Paul Nicholls was before the race, running him over hurdles was the best thing he's ever done and all this.
Yeah. It's just a bit flat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Man, it was horrible ground.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be better suited by the conditions at Kempton.
Yeah, flat track. And
yeah, I think we'll put a line through his run at Haydock. But he's there and he's a player, isn't he?
Mm.
And the defending champ.
Yeah. So Don Cossack for you.
Don Cossack. He's just sentimental, really, but he's got the form in the book anyway, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's going to win the Gold Cup as well. So.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. Good, good stuff. Just a quick look back at some of the stuff from Ascot yesterday, Mick, as well, and any other things on your mind. I just want to get your thoughts on Yanworth, really, because he's turned into a nice hurdler now, hasn't he? 3 from 3 over hurdles was a pretty decent bumper performer as well. And do you see him, you know, going forward towards the festival? Do you see him having a good chance?
Well, he's got Supreme written all over him at present, hasn't he? And yeah. I mean, the best man to ask would be Barry Geraghty if he thinks he's up to it. And he certainly looks it visually, doesn't he? Yeah. And that was a respectable time, considering he won as he liked. Made all, Barry just dictated it how he wanted to go, and he's learning all the time. He's a high class horse, as we know, as he's finishing fourth in the champion bumper. It'd be great to see a really good horse come out of the champion bumper, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, yeah.
So, all systems go, and I would think Supreme. I don't really see any reason for them to look at going further at this stage. Just keep him at 2 and hopefully maybe he might develop into a champion hurdle contender this time next year.
All right. The Mighty Novices Chase as well, which was the Noel Novices Chase on the card, the Grade 2 at Ascot. Le Mercury winning it for Paul Nichols, getting the better of Thomas Brown. Two decent novices there as well.
Yeah, and something went out of the race with Amoro Elato going at the last, didn't it? It was definitely in the shake-up at the time. And might have just taken some getting past.
He's
still, he was still a couple of lengths clear and not showing really much sign of flagging, wasn't he? Just got the fence all wrong. It wasn't a tiredness that made him make that catastrophic error that got rid of Harry Skelton. So, yeah, three decent novices there. I think Thomas Brown probably is worth trying a bit over 3 miles again. You know, he wasn't stopping at the end of his race. Just got done for a bit of foot. And whether it'll be up to Grade 1 or not, we'll have to wait and see. But he's certainly a good horse.
Mm.
Yeah, good day. It was an interesting day. It was good to see Le Mercury when he's only 5. And he's just another exciting French import, isn't he?
Yeah. Ridden by Sam Twiston Davis as well, Mick. We were just having a chat off air about Sam. He's come out in the papers earlier last week saying he's going to change his riding style. And obviously, being a former jockey yourself, Mick, you can give us a clue about what he needs to do.
Yeah, I think he's identified the problem himself. It's basically on the running when he's riding a finish. Too many moving parts, Mark.
Mm.
That leg, that lower leg, from the ankle, 6 inches up from the ankle, should be clamped to that horse's side, and he should be pushing from the diaphragm, you know, with his upper body, and it keeps the upper body still. Sam's going, everything's going. Just far too many moving parts, and he's not in contact with the horse, so he only has to take a false step or veer, and gravity takes over. The laws of physics are irrefutable, as you know, and they've twice found him out. He's got to get that lower leg from the ankle up. That's the key thing. Get it clamped to that horse's side. And if you just take a false step or veers, you go with him.
Yeah.
It's all to do with physics, Mark. You go with him. You don't sort of go straight on and he leaves you behind.
Yeah.
So I think he will eradicate it. Nothing else wrong with his riding at all. Just maybe trying a bit too hard and as a result too many moving parts. But I think he's identified it himself and I'm sure he will put it right.
Well, I mean, credit to him as well, the fact that he's going back and looking at how to change things and keep improving.
Exactly.
That's what you need, isn't it?
Well, you never stop improving, do you?
No. Good stuff. Anything else in your mind, Mick, or should we get stuck into Sunday's action?
I think as we speak, Mark, we're getting very close to the first race on Saturday morning, so I think we better move on.
Let's move on. Here comes Mick's thoughts on some of Sunday's action.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then we're going to look at two races at Fakenham and two races at Lingfield. So we'll start in the 12:50 at Fakenham, which is a Class 4 handicap hurdle. It's the Christmas handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. A field of 8 here, Mick. Who do you like in there?
Yeah, we'll start. We'll go through them in race card order, Mark. I think it's very interesting bit of placing by David Pipe to put Houston Dynamo, who comes here in great form, back over hurdles. He can race off a £5 slower hurdle race, Mark, than for his win at Leicester last time. And that was a really good performance. And he's got plenty of form in the book to make him viable off this, Mark. And he's been running well since he teamed up with David Noonan, which he has done on those last 4 starts. And David's up again, taking off the 5. I think he's going to be very hard to beat. A good bit of placing by the Pipes. Shaky Gift, Noel Feely rides for Normal Holland, who's in great form. Beaten a long way last time, which was a slightly disappointment. Shaky Gift went into it on the back of a win, but did have 12 stone 5 to carry around Utoxeter in desperate ground. So maybe that was a contributing factor. Won here the time before and has run well both times at Noel Feely's ridden. So Shaky Gift's on the shortlist. And the other one to consider is Bonnet's Vino, trained by Pam Sly, who came back from a tremendous long absence to win last time. That was after what, something like 20 months off at Leicester. Has got form here at Fakenham. And although £8 higher than that win 3 weeks ago, has had plenty of time to get over it. So hopefully the bounce factor won't kick in. I was torn between the two. I don't think the market will allow us to Dutch them. I'll stick with Houston Dynamo because he goes so well for Noonan. But I do respect the chances of Bonnet Vino.
Okay. Houston Dynamo then for Mick in the 12.50. The 1.50 at Fakenham is where we go next. This one is a class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, a field of 8 here, Mick. Some informed runners as well. Emerald Rose and Wings of Tract arrive here in winning form. Here's Herbie, looks as if he's getting closer.
Exactly. We'll go through them again in race card order. Number 2, as he said, Wings of Tract, only 6 years old, trained by Chris Bailey. Tom Missinger taking the ride, still lightly raced. Nothing wrong with both starts over fences, and comes into a handicap company here off a probably a fair mark. It was nearly up to this sort of mark over hurdles, and he was a hurdle race winner here, so I think he's going to be very hard to beat. You mentioned Noble Legend, showed next to nothing on his reappearance, but that was after 6 months off, and he is dangerously well handicapped for Caroline Bailey. Harry Skelton's booked to ride. Just one to watch in the market, Mark. Too well handicapped. Here's Herbie. The Gardens has sent this a long way. Rarely leaves the West Country, so this long-distance traveller is respected on his hurdle race form, but wasn't convincing on his start, phony start over fences to date, and for that reason alone, I'm going to overlook him, even though he's got a form chance on his hurdle race form. And the other one to consider is the hat-trick-seeking Emerald Rose, who's bid him to make it 3 from 3 here. Only £4 higher than the last win. This is tougher, but still more to come. For me, it's a match between Wings of Tract and Emerald Rose. I think I'll just go with it. Wings of Tract, who might just be a slightly better price.
Wings of Tract then for Mick in the 1.50 at Fakenham. Moving on to the 2.30 at Lingfield next. This one is a mile and a quarter handicap. Class 4 event and 10 of them in the lineup here, Mick.
Yeah,
like in there.
Competitive stuff. Gaelic Silver returned to form last time at Kempton Park. And it can run again here off the same mark. He's won 3 times for a £7 claimer, and he's got Paddy Bradley up, taking off the 7, and he's also a winner here. So he's very much respected. The Gary Moore trained Gaelic Silver with the yard still in good form. Dream Spirit was back to winning ways last time. It was a last gasp, but it was probably a better than it looked because he missed the break. Came out the stores awkwardly, had to pass the whole field to get up and win. Up 3, but is effective off this mark and does look effective at this trip. So he makes the shortlist. Modernism, Richard Fye's got his all-weather team in good form. Tony Hamilton is amongst the winners. He's getting better, this horse, for his return to Polytrack. He's got a good draw for one who can attack, and I think he's got first-rate each-way claims, and he might even be able to hang on from his stall in one. And the other one to consider is Media. It was lightly raised, still unexposed, used to be trained by Mark Johnson. Polytrack debut, hasn't been seen for 166 days since he left Mark Johnson. This is his first start for Richard Rowe. Stays his trip well. Just watch the market on the first run for Richard Rowe. I think it's a tricky enough one, but I'll just go each way Modernism.
Modernism each way then for Mick in the 2.30, and the 3 o'clock is where we finish. The 3 o'clock at Lingfield, this is a mile and a half handicap, another class 4 event. 7 of them in the lineup for this one, Mick, so it makes it a little bit tricky from each way perspectives, but who's
yeah,
you liking that?
Yeah, there's plenty. It's very hard to kick anything out of the shake up here. We'll go through them again in race card order. Dolphin Village, Jane Chapelham trains, Adam Kirby rides, plus 6 for that class 5 course and distance win on only its third start for Jane Chapelham. And Adam Kirby was on board last time, and that makes him one from one on Dolphin Village. Won in this grade, Class 4, on turf in 82 in 2014. So not to be ruled out. Cottesloe, trained by John Berry. John Egan takes the ride. Consistent, but still paying the price for that last win. £8 higher still, and 0 from 4 in Class 4. So reservations there. Clovelly Bear's an interesting runner. Marcus Tregoning trains. George Baker takes the ride. Still unexposed. And just forget that last run. Met trouble in running and was eased up. Finished seventh, was still only beating three lengths despite being eased up. So just forget the run. Remains in form. And George Baker could be just the man for him. George having his first ride in Clovelly Bay, replacing the injured Timmy Murphy. Laser, interesting runner from the Alan King Yard. Fergus Sweeney takes the ride. 125 rated hurdler from an informed stable. Not beaten far last time. He's got a big chance off the same mark. Torian comes here on the back of a win. He's up three for that Class 6. This demands more. And I'm going to take a chance on Farham. The bottom one, the three-year-old trained by Richard Fye. Again, another Fye runner, lightly raced three-year-old. Not beaten far on all of his career starts and looks tailor-made for this step-up in trip. So, trappy enough finale, but well, a finale for us. But Farham gets the vote in that.
Farham for Mick then in the 3 o'clock. Could be a good day for Richard Fye, by the looks of things.
I hope so.
Yeah. Good stuff, Mick. Let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, let's hope that Houston Dynamo can get us off to a good start under David Noonan in the Fakenham 1250. Wings of Track to back up from his win of last time in the 150. They're both at Fakenham. Over at Linkfield, could be a Fye double, hopefully. Modernism in the 2:30 and Farham in the 3 o'clock.
Good work. Good to see you again, Mick. Good luck.
Yeah,
and
thanks,
enjoy it on Sunday.
I will do.
There you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. with Darren Owen, James Millman and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Fakenham and Linkfield domestically. There's also racing over in Ireland from Thurles, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.